And welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I hope you had a beautiful sunny summer weekend. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus has been doing business since about 1996. We started out in Pounder's Jewelry. We had kind of the western half of that store for a number of years. Outgrew it very quickly. We're squeezed into a very tight spot for a long time. Knew it was time to go. Started praying, and God did an absolute miracle. Opened up my ability to open or buy a lot across the parking lot from where I'd been operating for years. And interestingly enough, the family that sold the lot to me on Division is at the highest traffic count in Spokane County. The family began accumulating property in 1946. They're one of the top taxpayers in the community in Spokane County for real estate, and they had not sold a property since they started accumulating in 1946. And through a very providential series of events, it was dropped in my lap. I thought it was too much money at the time. The guy, realtor who called me, who I'd been working with a little bit because I was looking for a Christian guy at the time and thought I'd found one, and he offered it. He said, "You got to decide now." And he said, because it's going, that which was like Thursday, and he said, "It's going on the market Monday. As soon as it goes on, there's another individual in Spokane who is the number one taxpayer in the city, and it was a pretty well-known fact that if I didn't buy it, he would." And so I got the opportunity to buy the property before it hit the market, and the quote I thought I was paying, well, basically, long story short, I went home, talked to my wife. We decided to pray about it. We were both convinced. We prayed about it before we went to bed and decided however we felt in the morning was what we were to do. And that's what we prayed. That was our fleece. Both of us, when we went to sleep that night, were convinced it was too much money and it was just too fast. And, it was just too much. It was too much too fast. We both woke up early. The next morning, I was laying there, looked over at her. She looked over at me, and I said, "We're supposed to do it, aren't we?" And she said, "Yep." And away we went. And we bought the property and then eventually built the building. We moved into the building. So I went into business in 96, entered Pounders, I think, in about 98. Bought the property probably in 04 or 05. And began construction in 06 and moved in 07. And so we've been in our facility now for about 12 years. It is hands down one of the finest buildings in Spokane and one of the finest buildings in the nation, actually, industry-wide, as far as our industry goes. I mean, don't get me wrong. You go back to New York and you go through some of those old buildings and my golly, the beauty. Wow. I mean, and I'm a real architectural freak. I love it. I love quality. I love the old craftsmanship, which is an art that is going away. And it's sad. There's so much changing. I talk to a lot of people at different positions in different areas and whatnot. And even with all these, quote, jobs that Trump's creating in our economy and, you know, all this stuff, they are, you know, they're jobs, but they're living wage jobs, barely. And the problem with that is that we've had hyperinflation going on for so long, and, you know, you go back 20, 30 years, the number of items that you had for bills per month was far lower than it is now. In other words, the number of bills you had has gone up. The cost of them is exorbitantly increased. And so basically, you know, even though people are making a, quote, living wage, they're living tough. I mean, there's no luxury, no frills. Trump's creating a lot of the, you know, the $16 and type jobs like this, which is what basically what Amazon, you know, for those of you from our area may be aware, Amazon's coming into the area. They're building an absolutely massive facility west of Spokane out past the airport, and they're putting in their own airport. They're putting in their own 8,000-foot-long landing strip. I'm sure the person who owned that property, in fact, I remember when the property was for sale, and I'm sure that when Amazon came, well, Amazon grabbed more property. They bought a piece of property out there, and then they went to the locals in the area and offered them, you know how they say a price you can't refuse. And they bought up literally square miles of land and paid dearly to get it. They're going to be providing 1,600 jobs in our area, which the average income on those jobs is like 16 and change an hour, which, you know, for, you know, regular menial work is good. But as far as, you know, hope and the ability to live a good life, it's tough. And so people end up using debt. And that's where America's at right now. We're in a severely heavily leveraged society. Everything we own is backed by debt. All of our currency is backed by debt. Our college degrees are backed by debt. We've got credit cards coming out our ears. We've got record highs on auto loans. And, you know, people that don't know banking call them liar loans. I was reading an article here recently. Guys calling them liar loans because they don't verify income. Well, I was in banking and all aspects of it for years, financing cars and houses and boats. And you never, you know, on cars, you don't verify income very often. Self-employed, you do occasionally. If, you know, it's all based on credit and cash flow and debt to income ratios and things like that, of down payment amounts and all that. So it's not that they're liar loans, although there could very well be. I mean, people can state whatever income they want on an application. It's just the fact that cars are becoming so expensive and the finance terms are becoming extended ridiculously. You can get a pickup now. If you go buy a nice big full-size pickup, you know, there's a dollar threshold. You can finance for 96 months, okay? That's 8 years. Well, I can tell you, the depreciation rate on that is far greater than the principal reduction of paying that down. And so what's going on in this country right now is experts are predicting a collapse, an economic dump, if you will. And I don't disagree with them. At all. My understanding of finance and whatnot, I can't disagree with them. It's absolutely completely justifiable. And the reason is I've been in the business of repossessing cars and all that, not to say that it's a fun thing to do, but the fact of the matter is, people don't give back cars that they have equity in. And even back when I was involved and the terms were quite a bit shorter, it was, it was always negative equity or they're upside down or they wrecked it without insurance. This is basically all the vehicles that exist out there are essentially the people are buried in them. They're just payment buyers. This is the new thing, is payment buying and on everything. What's even worse, so you've got $1.5 trillion in car debt. I was trying to find a document that I saved on my laptop here, and I just can't find it right now. And it had all those numbers in front of me, but I'll go off the top of my head. $1.5 trillion in auto debt. Another one that's even worse, $1.5 trillion in credit card debt, about $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, And you start to put these together, you got $4.5 trillion. It really in primarily unsecured debt. And like I said, you may think a car is a good security, but when they're financing with, you know, minimal down, minimal to none down, dealers, you know, fluff up the trade and fluff up the purchase. And, you know, a car that books out, just say a used car that hypothetically books out for $20,000. They, you know, they might have listed for 28.9, and then they show the buyer a big, you know, $8,900 on their trade, and the bank ends up, that's, you know, and then the person owes money on the trade always. And because they're buried, a lot of people roll from vehicle to vehicle to vehicle until they're so deep they don't know what happened to them. And or they make bad buying decisions and the vehicle gives them a lot of trouble and it's not reliable because the vehicle can't outlast the debt. So they trade and, you know, the term in the business obviously is being buried upside down, whatever you want to call it. That's the terminology that we use. I think I found some, well, no, that's just a picture. So anyway, that is something that I feel is posing a pretty significant threat to the United States of America financially. What goes up must come down. Bubbles pop. It's just a fact. So, you know, what's my point in all this? My point is that the paper game it's unbiblical. Okay, when every single thing we have is backed by debt, okay, everything. We live in a debt-based America, okay? That is not a biblical principle. That is not how you are supposed to function, live your life, run a country, whatever you want to call it. That is not a biblical principle. That's why I think recently I discussed the Jubilee. Every 50 years, all debts were forgiven. Why? Because if you know that, well, every 7 years there was a certain debt, a certain amount of debt on certain items forgiven in the Old Testament among the Israelites, and then every 50 years it was a complete wash, okay? So everybody in their lifetime would see a complete wash of debt. The primary driver, from God's point of view, was that in the Bible, God mentions debt is bad. God mentions usury, right? He hates usury. I don't know if you're aware of that. What is usury? Usury is charging interest for money. Psalms 15, when he talks about what are the things that makes God, I should go to it. It basically says, let's go look at it real quick here. Psalms 15, it's who can dwell in the holy tent of the Lord or something like that. Yeah. A psalm of David, Psalms 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Now, if God's saying, who can abide in your tent and dwell on your holy hill? He's saying, you know, who, I don't want to use the term country club, but who fits into your God club? Who is holy enough? Who is good enough? Who is living their lives the way you want them to live? Good enough that they can actually, that they actually deserve to be exalted by you or held in your presence on earth. So, Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? I love this scripture. So, first of all, he who walks with integrity, period. What's integrity? Integrity is a standardized level of righteous excellence at all times. It's a man, you know, they say character is what you do when no one's watching. Well, integrity encompasses character, what you do when no one's watching. It encompasses your priorities. It encompasses caring for others. It encompasses when you're driving down the road and someone's car's broke down, you help them out. It encompasses the way you treat people, the way you raise your family, the way you conduct business. I've had situations where people, you know, give me too much change or something and I'll give it back and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, like, One thing you got to think about, folks, and put this in your mind. I have had employees steal 20 bucks, okay? And I've caught them. And my comment to them is, so your integrity is worth 20 bucks. 20 bucks. You just sold your integrity for 20 bucks. And you need to think about that as an individual. Whether you're at, you know, Costco and you get too much change, or they, you know, there's two of something in a box when you know you're only buying one, or I don't know. But I'm saying, what is your integrity worth? What is the price of your integrity? And what is the price that you will sell your integrity, offend God, turn your back on God, ignore his precepts, ignore, you know, his commandments, and feed your flesh? At what is your price? There should be no price. God paid it all. To him who's forgiven much, you know, we need to love much. To him who is, you know, if he who's faithful with little will be given much. To him who much is given, much is required. People complain all the time. They're poor. My life's so tough. I don't, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they don't pay their bills and they don't tithe. Then they, you know, but you see them down at the, you know, restaurant and hauling their kids to Chuck E. Cheese or, you know, I don't know. But the point is, you know, you want to have integrity, live with integrity. If you sign on the dotted line, folks, that's your name. I think it's in Proverbs 20 that says your name is worth more than any other thing you will accumulate on this earth. When you die, you want to leave a legacy behind of righteousness and holiness and integrity. That's why our motto at Coins Plus is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. Now, are we human? You betcha. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Do we drop the ball? Mm-hmm. But our hearts and our goals and our desires, and that's our motto. We want to be honest. We want to have integrity and professionalism in every transaction. Do we make money? We sure try to, and we hope so. Sometimes we don't do it too well, you know, but things happen, right? But the bottom line is integrity is everything. In my opinion, integrity is what the world is missing. I've discussed recently about our rights, our Bill of Rights. Okay, there's the Ninth Amendment that says any rights not mentioned here, in other words, it says if a right is not mentioned in this Bill of Rights, it does not mean that any other right overrides that right. In other words, they're saying, you know, the Bill of Rights doesn't cover all your rights. There is a massive list of unalienable rights. By the way, interestingly enough, it's inalienable for those who understand the Declaration of Independence. One of the scribes that rewrote it randomly wrote unalienable as an accident, which is kind of odd. But they're inalienable. In other words, inalienable, non-separatable. You know, an illegal alien is somebody from somewhere else. So they can't be taken away. They can't be alienated from you. They're given to you by God. A man can squelch them and take them away, but they cannot take away your freedom of thought and your freedom of speech. They can beat you and shoot you and kill you and everything else, but they can't take it away. And they can scare you into not exercising it. But they're inalienable. It's a right that God gave you. You cannot be stopped. Like I said, there's, you know, we won't get into all the things man can do to try to stop you. You know, I mean, they could cut out your tongue or whatever. I'm sorry to be gross, but, you know. But the bottom line is they're given you by God. It doesn't change your right if they verbally or physically abuse you to a point where you're not you can't physically exercise it. So anyway, you know. There's a book I have here. I guess I won't get into that right now. But the list of all of our inalienable or unalienable rights, you know, the right to self-government, the right to bear arms, the right to own, develop, and dispose of property, The right to make personal choices, the right of free conscience, the right to choose a profession, which is very important because I believe God puts a destiny, somewhat, talents into each one of us. I went last night and I watched Steve Martin and Martin Short. Absolutely terrific show. Those who are my age in the 50s would totally get it, or older. Phenomenal, phenomenal entertainer, Steve Martin. And I mean, just incredible. Just so perfectly timed and on and funny and a really great, great time. But from an early age, both of them were very, very theatrical from youth. From almost infancy, it was built into them by God. And that is so important that we identify these things and we see misery in those who don't. Those who've been given a destiny and choose not to pursue it. Or, you know, through, there's a variety of reasons. People can have trauma. They can have relatives that pressure them into something else, or they can have, you know, they can go through terrible times when they're kids and end up with mentors that don't understand them or know. I mean, there's just a million things that could happen. Or, you know, Uncle Bob was a doctor and my dad was a doctor, so I've got to be a doctor, you know, kind of thing like that. And, you know, those kinds of things. But that may not be where their heart is. I really believe that God gives us all a set of talents. And I think that we got to figure out what we are to do with them. And it doesn't matter if you're a wrench turner, or if you're a, you know, a salesman or a carpet layer, it doesn't matter. You'll know. You know, there's something you'll love, and you got to really search God, and you got to ask yourself. A lot of, you know, you hear all these things. I've heard psychologists say, well, you know, you got to go back to when you were five and see what you like to do then, and that's what your destiny is. The problem is when you're five, you don't always get exposed to those things, although you may tend to do it. When I was five, I would build these incredible structures out of Legos, and I wanted more Legos, and I had buckets of Legos, and I wanted more, and I wanted more, and I wanted more, and I'd build these great big houses, and they'd be structured with stairs and windows and multiple stories and beautiful roof lines and chimneys. And, you know, I was in my natural kind of gifting was architecture. I mean, I did architecture or interior design, and I didn't really put two and two together. I had everybody telling me that's what I should do, and I didn't understand it until it was too late. And so I ended up with a degree in applied mathematics and statistics, which is more engineering than it is architecture, but that's, you know, God took me down another road that I really love, and that's the coin business. And I love coins like you can't even imagine. More unalienable rights. So we just discussed the profession. That's important. You know, do communist countries do this? Socialist countries? No. They own you. You're property of the state. If you actually are property of God. Man overrides that temporarily. God has the last say. But in, you know, in our nation, you are property of God, and you can do whatever you want with that. I had a conversation yesterday with a Native American who found out I had a radio show on the Christian radio, and she was really full of animus towards me. And I was like, you know, tell me your theories. I'm open. She's like, no, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to. I said, I grew up in Great Falls, Montana. Five reservations around us. My dad was a bail bondsman, definitely exposed to the Indians and the Native Americans. And I moved through some different schools growing up, obviously, because I was, kind of outed for a while there. And I had Native American studies as a sophomore, and I went to a different school, had Native American studies as a junior, went to college, had a year of Native American studies there, grew up around Native Americans. They couldn't drop out of school. Our truancy laws were pretty harsh. If you dropped out before you were 16, you actually went to juvenile or got arrested. And so the kids would stay in school until they turned 16. So we had a bunch of great big 15-year-old seventh graders that were pretty tough. And so I understand their culture. I've studied it. I understand the thought process, you know, as well as I can. And she didn't want to discuss anything. She just wanted to bash and bash and bash and bash on on my faith, which was not exactly constructive. It wasn't the way it should go. I don't get that all the time. But anyway, so we've got the profession. You've got the right to choose a mate. You've got the right to beget one's kind. You've got the right to assemble, the right to petition, the right to free speech, the right to free press. These are all inalienable rights from God. The right to enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's why our founding fathers said no to direct taxation. That's constitutionally forbidden, an income tax. They've overridden that. Pretty crazy. The right to enjoy the fruits of one's labor, the right to improve your position through barter and sale, okay? You have the right to trade. Communistic countries forbid that. That's why people that come from certain countries, a lot of people from Russia, when they first started coming over here, a lot of them were doing trade. They were buying and selling cars, and then they learned how to wash salvage titles across state lines and do this and that. Well, the reason was that free market in communist countries was black market, okay? Capitalism was black market. That's why now they're attacking capitalism, because they're exalting socialism. Socialism is the direct opponent of capitalism, and free market is the right way. It's God's way. The problem is, you know, now we've got all these, you know, government regulations and all kinds of entitlements, and on we go. The 60s, you know, when we went to the moon with Apollo 11, I watched that show recently. I mean, we did great things in the 60s. We had all kinds of incredible development. I met Jay Leno one time at a car show and was able to talk to him, and he was really into the turbine motors that they'd come out with in the 60s, and he believed that had they been able to pursue that, but the big, I think Chrysler put it out or something, and Ford and GM put out a bunch of bad publicity propaganda to ruin it, because they didn't have the technology themselves. And so they ruined it. And Jay Leno believes that as we've seen technology improve on engines, on combustion engines, for example, I had a sports car about 10 years ago, the Corvette ZR1 was the first car that was getting 100 horsepower per liter, and it had about a 6.7 liter motor, and it was really, really a big deal. Now, Mercedes is putting out, you know, vehicles like the, you know, GTS 63 four-door sedan, believe it or not, with like 725 horsepower out of a 4-liter motor. 4 liters, 3.7 liters is a gallon. So the actual block, the motor block of this vehicle, is the size of a gallon jug of milk. And they're getting 700 horse. So that's how we improve technology, because man's smart. Jay Leno believes that the turbine was the way to go. It's far more efficient. He's got all his reasons. You know, it provided heat. It provided compression. It combustion. It provided everything for the car. It would feed the brakes. It was a really neat system. He actually has one in his collection, one of the few that were left. But because of bureaucracy and lobbyists and whatnot, it was stopped. Had it been allowed to go free market, you know, the whole world might look different today. I mean, you have turbine motors on cars. He thinks that we would have got down to the point where you'd be getting 400 horse out of a turbine the size of a paint can, you know, and that's just prosperity, and that's how America grows. But that's what happens when you regulate capitalism. Free market has to be able to allow itself to run. We used to have these non-monopolistic, trade laws, and we would impose these. Now lobbyists have so much power, we let companies like Amazon grow up that handles 50% of all online sales. Huge. I mean, sure, do they provide a great service? Yeah. Are they getting really good at it? You bet. But they have infinite dollars, right? You have Google. They process all speech. They process, I mean, I don't care where the free speech comes from. If it comes from the New York Times or the Washington Post or the New American Standard, you know, from left to right, you want to see it, you go on Google. Everybody goes on Google. Google scrubs things. They edit things. They weed things out. People have to pay more and more and more to get attention. They're literally the arbiters of free speech. That should never be. You know, and they're like, well, they're a private corporation. I don't care. A private corporation can regulate the behavior of their own employees, but they should not be able to regulate the free speech rights of either members or users of their product or service. That's just my belief. So here we go again. So real quick, we have the right to contrive and invent. Very interesting. Our founding fathers put in a protection of patents in the Constitution. Why? Because they knew that your ability to create, which kind of overrides, you know, it kind of is an umbrella over a lot of these things. Your ability to create and dream and your unique proprietary ideas, intellectual property, are mandatory, compulsory for creation and growth. And you can't build it until you think it. You can't do it till you think it. And then they say, don't think it, ink it. They've done study after study after study that shows that when people write down their goals, they achieve them like on an eightfold basis. If you just make goals in your head, New Year's resolutions, it's a lot lower likelihood that you'll accomplish them than if you write them down. And so patents, you know, patent protection is the written down concept that you've created, and it protects someone from stealing it. And it's interesting. These were very wise men. They understood this, and they'd apparently seen it abused. So we'll continue real quick, okay? You have the right to contrive an event. You have the right to explore the natural resources of the earth. You have the right to privacy, the right to personal security, the right to provide nature's necessities, air, food, water, clothing, and shelter. You have a right to those things because God put you on this earth with a right to those things. Government, what are they trying to do? Air. Do they control air? They love it, right? They want this big carbon dioxide conspiracy. We've discussed that, you know, and I won't spend the time on that. Global warming, global climate change, I'm sorry, because if the weather's up or down or sideways, it's our fault, you know. If it's not what you want, it must be man's fault, so we need regulations. Food. Does the government control food? You ever heard of the FDA? The Food and Drug Administration? Water. What happens with water? Well, they fill it with fluoride and all kinds of stuff, and now where do you get your water? Oh, you go buy it by the 24-pack or 30-pack. You buy water in a bottle. It's controlled. It's crazy. It's become a barterable or tradable commodity. It's unbelievable. It's the most important commodity. We should have a right to water. Even like I've mentioned, the Egyptian commandments had a lot of stuff about water in there that, you know, you cannot breach a person's ability to access free water. That's, you know, you look at what Saddam Hussein did, people don't even realize that he, there, you know, where they say the Garden of Eden was, whether it was or was not, I don't know. But he went in and built these massive, massive dams and canals, and he rerouted one of the most beautiful water areas in the world, in Iraq. People know that now it's a huge desert, and Saddam Hussein rerouted I don't remember, a million square miles of water into the Persian Gulf, I believe, and killed, you know, all these people that he didn't like. That's what evil rulers do. Okay, we have the right to fair trial, the right to free association, the right to enter into contracts, and so on. And I won't spend a lot more time on that, but it is important to understand God gave us a lot of rights. It's the government's job to protect them. So let's run down this integrity thing. So we're on Psalms 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So don't lie. He who does not slander with his tongue. There's a fine line there. Nor does evil to his neighbor. Don't be that guy that is a bad neighbor or treats people wrong or flips people off when you're driving or cuts them off. or when, you know, all those things. We could make a list of what doing evil to your neighbor means. You know what it means in your heart. If you have the Holy Spirit and you're doing that stuff, you're quenching the Spirit. The more you quench the Spirit, the less you hear the Spirit, and the further you depart from God. Eventually, it says he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, which basically means he'll let you have your way. He'll let you live in your sin, and he'll let Satan dominate your life. And he, at that point, isn't happy, and nor will you be. So we're doing the who may abide in your tent. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. So you don't like bad people. But who honors those who fear the Lord? You honor someone who fears the Lord. That is the highest form of respect you pay to a person. Someone who loves God and honors him, that is the highest form of living. Not a guy who has 3 Super Bowl rings. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Okay, that's the first thing we're talking about. You sign on the dotted line, you say, I will, you do it. You swear to your own hurt. You don't do it on purpose. It means if you make a promise, you keep it. And if you have kids, you better keep it. You don't break those promises. You keep them. Okay? Now here's what we're getting at. He does not put out his money at interest. You don't loan money at interest. There's all kinds of verses throughout the Bible we were talking about that usury destroys an economy. And then it says, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. That's obvious. You don't ever, ever hurt the innocent. And he who does these things will never be shaken. This is who God loves, who God wants to hang out with or considers his inner circle, we'll say. Now, I have a bunch of other stuff to discuss. But basically right there, debt and all that, folks, you don't want to be in debt. But if you are, pay it off. You know, the biggest problem is real inflation versus interest rates is skewed. We've got a false consumer price index that is fixed. The consumer price index is now an exclusionary index. What is the consumer price index? It's the CPI. It's what the government uses to calculate inflation. However, primarily under Clinton, we removed the majority categories of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. There's still fractals of it left in there, but for the most part, they've been removed. That is what you spend. The average citizen spends 85% of their disposable income on food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. So they tell you inflation's 1.8%, but it's really, say, 6 or 7. Why do I say that? Because there are times that borrowing money does make sense. Ooh, that doesn't fit the Dave Ramsey theory. But you borrow money strictly to secure assets, you know, maybe a business, maybe a home. We live in a debt-ridden society. You got to understand PMI, private mortgage insurance, you know, 20% down prevents that. I don't want to do the whole show on that today. But you want to borrow money smart, wise, study, find out, understand fees, compare. And so on. But debt in general is not good. But there are times that you can borrow money. It'll help you make money. You might need to borrow money to get a car, to go to work so you can make a living if you don't have the cash. But you don't need to go buy a brand new Bentley, you know, or Lamborghini unless you've got the cash burning a hole in your pocket. And even then, trust me, there's better things you can do with your money. So it's important that we realize that debt destroys society. Our entire fiat currency system is backed by debt. Then there's interest, so they have to create extra money. It's exponentially growing. We've got this debt cap or debt ceiling coming up again. Congress, you know, they let it fly by now. They don't, you know, everybody gets what they want in the budget. The left gets theirs and the right gets theirs. And then they can all go home to their constituents and say, hey, look what we've done. We're all doing it. They don't mention racking up debt. Trump never discusses the deficit or debt. He's in that category. He is hurting us big time. We are so buried in debt, it's not even funny. I've covered that on other shows, but it's just beyond. So in a nutshell, you know, precious metals-based assets, really, you got to have a secure hedge built. We've seen some nice rises in metals this year. You know, I think they're up 15% year to date, or, you know, roughly. But that's not bad. You know, people remember the big rally that happened over a number of years a while ago, and that's what they want to see again. And you very well may. But we've got stock markets going through the roof. We've got all this paper. It can't last. It's a bubble. And I mentioned all the debt we've got. Get your money secured in hard assets. They're liquid. They've lasted from the beginning of written human history. God brings them up in Genesis 2. He uses them to highly enrich in his people, his land. You know, and it's gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. Gold and silver's money. That's where you want to be, that basic category. You don't need just bullion. You can buy a nice mixed portfolio that we build that'll do very well. There's value in the market right now like you can't believe. And we specialize in helping people do that. That's Coins Plus is 444-0044 if you're interested. It doesn't have to be a lot. If you've got savings or whatever, 401ks and IRAs. Right now, we've seen a slowdown in people doing that. Why? Because theirs are doing pretty good. But what do you have to do? Everybody thinks they're going to beat the system. You're not going to beat the system. I mean, you know, you're just not. The Dow's only 30 stocks out of over 2 million. They manipulate them. They remove and replace them. They use weighted moving averages to make them look smoother. A stock crashes. They remove it and replace it before it really shows like it would in your portfolio. And you cannot get the returns out of an index fund. So they'll say the NASDAQ's posting a 7.1% year return. You buy a NASDAQ fund and you're only getting 1.3. This is a fact. And people don't understand why. It's because of the removal and replacement of stocks that they do in the index. But you take the loss beforehand. It's a farce. And so I guess understand our debt position. Just be secured, be balanced, be wise. We talk about it. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard plenty about it, but I'm just telling you, be wise. Now, just for a little bit of fun, I want to read a couple emails that are from a relative of mine that are very insightful. She's very, very brilliant and insightful and understands what's going on. So here's one. Do politicians just not get it? And it's from a friend of hers. It says, excuse us using logic here. And then it says, I was thinking, think about this for a minute. If only 11 million people have Obamacare, how will 24 million people die if it is repealed? Will an additional 13 million people be randomly shot? And then he says, I was thinking, if Donald Trump deleted all of his emails, wiped out his server with bleach bit, and destroyed all of his phones with a hammer, would the mainstream media suddenly lose all interest in the story and declare him innocent? I was thinking, if women do the same job for less money, why do companies hire men to do the same job for more money? These are good thoughts. I was thinking, if you rob a bank in a sanctuary city, is it illegal or is it just an undocumented withdrawal? I was thinking, each ISIS attack now is a reaction to Trump policies. But all ISIS attacks during Obama's term were due to climate change and a plea for jobs. Then he goes on. I was thinking, we should stop calling them in all entitlements, welfare, food stamps, WIC, ad nauseum, are not entitlements. They're taxpayer-funded handouts and should not be called entitlements at all because no one is entitled to these things. Social Security and veterans benefits, on the other hand, are entitlements because the people receiving them are entitled to them. They were earned and paid for by the recipients. I was thinking, if liberals don't believe in biological gender, then why did they march for women's rights? I was thinking, how did the Russians get Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC, that's Democratic National Convention or Committee, to steal the primary from Bernie Sanders? How did Russia get Donna Brazile to leak debate questions to Hillary in advance of the debates? I was thinking, why is it that Democrats think superdelegates are fine, but they have a problem with the Electoral College? I was thinking, if Hillary's speeches cost $250,000 an hour, how come no one shows up to her free ones? I like that one. I was thinking, the DNC is mad at Russia because they think the Russians are trying to manipulate our election by exposing that the DNC is manipulating our election. I'll read that again so you can think. The DNC's mad at Russia because they think the Russians are trying to manipulate our election by exposing that the DNC themselves are manipulating our election. You got to think about that. That's a good one. I was thinking, if Democrats don't want foreigners involved in our elections, why do they think it's all right for illegals to vote? Think of that. They don't want foreigners involved. They want to use the Hatch Act, but they want illegals to vote. We know the answer to that, because they can't control foreigners, but they can control illegals because they just have to hand stuff out, or at least promise to hand them out. And that is, I think, pretty interesting. Let's see. Here's another one. Okay, here's from a freelance reporter. It says, Tina Grigo is a freelance reporter for the Denver Post. She writes some really good stuff, and she's a strong advocate for legal immigration. Not Democratic, not Republican, not liberal, and not conservative. What if 20 million illegal aliens vacated America? Just the fact by a good reporter. Just the facts. Now, 20 million, listen to that number. They always tell us 11. That's why they don't want a citizenship question on the census, because they know it's a lot more than 11 million that they always tell us. So let me see how long this is. This is a little bit long. Okay, I'll try to hurry. I, Tina Grego, journalist for Denver Rocky Mountain News, have written a column titled Mexican Visitors Lament. I interviewed Mexican journalist Evangelina Hernandez while visiting Denver last week. Hernandez said, illegal aliens pay rent, they buy groceries, they buy clothes. What happens to our country's economy, she says, if 20 million people go away? I thought, what would happen? So I did my due diligence, buried my nose as a reporter into the facts I found below. It's a good question. It deserves an honest answer. Over 80% of Americans demand secured borders. What would happen if all 20 million or more illegal aliens vacated America? And it says it may surprise you. In California, if 3.5 million illegal aliens move back to Mexico, it would leave an extra $10.2 billion to spend on overloaded school systems, bankrupt hospitals, and overrun prisons. It would leave highways cleaner, safer, and less congested. Everyone could understand one another as English became the dominant language again. Theodore Roosevelt, not Franklin, Theodore, in 1907, did a speech called, To Become an American. And he said, you're not a African American, you're not an Italian American, you're an American. And he said, English is the primary language in other things. He was a very liberal person, a Democrat. And this is how we've changed. So she goes on, it says, it means 12,000 gang members would vanish out of Denver alone. Colorado would save more than $20 million in prison costs. And the terror that those 7,300 alien criminals set upon local citizens. Denver officer Don Young and hundreds of Colorado victims would not have suffered death, accidents, rapes, and other crimes by illegals. Denver public schools would not suffer a 67% dropout and flunk rate because of thousands of illegal alien students speaking 41 different languages. Denver's 4% unemployment rate would vanish as our working poor would gain jobs at a living wage. In Chicago, Illinois, 2.1 million illegal aliens would free up hospitals, schools, prisons, and highways for a safer, cleaner, and more crime-free experience. If 20 million illegal aliens return home, the U.S. economy would return to the rule of law. Employers would hire legal American citizens at a living wage. Everyone would pay their fair share of taxes because they wouldn't be working off the books. That would result in an additional $401 billion in IRS income taxes collected annually and an equal amount for local, state, and city coffers. No more confusion in American schools that now must contend with over 100 languages that degrade the educational system for American children. Our overcrowded schools would lose more than 2 million illegal alien, she says, kids, children, at a cost of billions in ESL, and free breakfast and lunch. We would lose 500,000 illegal criminal inmates at a cost of more than $1.6 billion annually, which includes 15,000 MS-13 gang members who distribute $130 billion in drugs annually and would vacate our country. In cities like L.A., 20,000 members of the 18th Street Gang would vanish from our nation. No more Mexican forgery gangs for ID theft from Americans. No more foreign rapists and child molesters. America's economy is drained. Taxpayers are harmed. Employers get rich. Over $80 billion annually wouldn't return to the aliens' home countries by cash transfers. Folks, I know personally people who do this. This is what they do. They send the money home. Illegal migrants earned half that money untaxed, which further drains America's economy, which currently suffers a $20 trillion debt or deficit. That's actually $21 trillion. At least 400,000 anchor babies would not be born in our country each year, costing us $109 billion per year cycle. At least 86 hospitals in California, Georgia, and Florida would still be operating instead of going bankrupt out of existence because illegals pay nothing via the EMTOLA Act. I'm not familiar with that. Americans wouldn't suffer thousands of TB, tuberculosis, and hepatitis cases rampant in our country. Let's see here. Brought in by illegals, unscreened at our borders, our cities would see 20 million less people driving, polluting, and gridlocking our cities' greenhouse gases. Over 1 million of Mexico's poorest citizens now live inside and along our border from Brownsville, Texas to San Diego, California, in what the New York Times called colonias or new neighborhoods. Trouble is, those living areas resemble Bombay and Calcutta, where grinding poverty, filth, diseases, drugs, crimes, no sanitation, and worse. They live without sewage, clean water, streets, roads, electricity, or any kind of sanitation. The New York Times reported them to be America's new third world inside our own country. Within 20 years at their current growth rates, they expect 20 million residents of those colonias. And this gal says, I've seen him personally in Texas and Arizona. It's sickening in anything you can imagine. Sicker than anything, whatever. We already invite 1 million people into our country legally annually, more than all other countries combined, with growing anarchy at our borders. So we allow over 1 million people a year in legally. And that's more than the entire world combined. It's time to stand up for our country, our culture, our civilization, and our way of life. Interesting statistics below. There are 13 reasons illegal aliens should vacate America, and I hope they're forwarded over and over again until they're read so many times that the reader gets sick of reading them. $14 billion to $22 billion are spent each year on welfare on illegal aliens. That's $14 to $22 billion with a B. $7.5 billion are spent each year on Medicaid for illegal aliens. $12 billion are spent each year on primary and secondary school education for children here illegally, and they still can't speak a word of English. $27 billion are spent each year for education for American-born children of illegal aliens known as anchor babies. $3 million per day is spent to incarcerate illegal aliens. That's $1.2 billion a year. 28% of all federal prison inmates are illegal aliens. Listen to that. 28% of all federal prison inmates are illegal aliens. $190 billion are spent each year on illegal aliens for welfare and social services by the American taxpayer. That's $190 billion. $200 billion per year in suppressed American wages are caused by illegal aliens. The illegal aliens in the United States have a crime rate that's 2.5 times that of white non-legal aliens. In particular, their children are going to make a huge additional crime problem in the U.S. During the year 2005, there were 8 to 10 million illegal aliens that crossed our southern border, with as many as 19,500 illegal aliens from other terrorist countries. Over 10,000 of those were Middle Eastern terrorists. Millions of pounds of drugs, cocaine, meth, heroin, crack, guns, and marijuana crossed into the U.S. from the southern border. We're running out of time. I'll hurry. The National Policy Institute estimates that the total cost of mass deportation would be between $206 and $230 billion, or an average cost of between $41 and $46 billion annually over a five-year period. In 2006, illegal aliens sent home $65 billion in remittances back to their countries of origin to their families and friends. That's what they do. They come here, they earn money, they send it back, and they plan to go back. They don't have any ties here, any loyalty to this country. The dark side of illegal immigration, nearly 1 million sex crimes are committed by illegal immigrants in the United States. Total cost, a whopping $538.3 billion a year, and we don't need a wall? If this does not bother you, it says, then just delete this message. Otherwise, forward it to everyone you know. That, to me, folks, is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful letter. And I'm telling you, it's done by a reporter. It's based on facts. And it's something that you need to keep in mind. It's not just this inert problem. The left is, they want socialism. These people want free handouts. They do not care about the financial well-being of our nation at all whatsoever. And they absolutely, you know, bankruptcy doesn't even bother them. They just want to fleece the nation of its wealth. And at that point, you know, they'll be gone. I mean, if we go bankrupt, they're gone. They don't care. And I'm sorry, but that's just the real fact. So, you know, next time you start feeling compassion for them, they're breaking the law when they come in. They're ruining our country. And I think that's something you need to take serious. There are so many strains and pressures on this nation. We're heading the wrong direction. We've got all these, illegals. We've got communism, socialism. We've got debt coming out our ears. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's a tough, tough time in this country. Most of it's going the wrong direction. So thanks again for tuning in. You know the deal. Give us a 5-star Google review, free silver dollar, 3 reviews, say Bing, Yelp, Google, 2 free silver dollars. Call us. We'll verify it. We'll send them to you, whatever it takes. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Bye-bye.